Nathan's brother and his parents here and others. Also, we've got, I know to my knowledge, at least two people here who've never been to a church service in their life before, either in Hong Kong or here, and they're here for the very first time. We pray that God indeed will bless them. Also, I want to give thanks to Ken and the music team representing the wonderful worship teams that have guided us and blessed us in our worship throughout this year. Let's join together in prayer before we consider God's word. Heavenly Father, as we always do, we claim afresh your promise that your word will be to us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So it was last year, indeed, that I had the privilege of preaching on the final Sunday of the year, and that privilege is mine again today, as Andrew and Rachel enjoy a time of holiday. Psalm 48, as Sue Land read for us, encourages us as we gather in worship to meditate on the unfailing love of God, to consider afresh, to think deeply on the unfailing love of God, and to say with the writer of this incredible psalm, this hymn of praise, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even to the end." For this God is our God, says the psalmist. Can we echo those words afresh this morning? He will be our guide even to the end. And so my prayer for each one of us, we've rejoiced in celebrating the true meaning of Advent, sharing in perhaps the extra serving of Christmas pudding that perhaps we didn't all need, but we thank God for the opportunities of spending time with family and friends and just the reality and the joy of the special occasion. But we have come today to bring the year of 2019 to a fitting conclusion by simply meditating on this unfailing love of God as revealed in the provision of a baby born to be the saviour of our world. And firstly, let's have a few moments of reflection. I want us firstly to turn our minds back to 2018, when we were in 2017-18 under Stuart's leadership. And we had years of reflection. It was particularly for 2018, a year of prayerful anticipation, consideration in respect to the appointment of a new full-time minister for the English ministry here at ACPC. And then there were the beginnings of considerations being undertaken by the Parish Council, the Building Committee, as to the best way forward for us in respect of the kind of building that would best allow for growth, for outreach and development as the very best facility enabling ACPC to move forward into the new year. And then came this year of 2019. And we welcomed Pastor Andrew as our minister for the English Ministry congregation. We have truly been blessed by his Bible-based messages and leadership, and especially the time spent in respect to the consideration of ACPC as a redemptive family as we worked through that series together and then had that weekend of workshops. All that it means for us as a community moving forward. Then this year we've rejoiced with those who have openly professed their faith through the waters of baptism. We have had new people regularly worshipping with us. We've welcomed them. And some indeed have even entered into church membership, and we thank God for them. And then we have celebrated new birth, and we've stood with parents who have made vows to determine to develop a Christian home environment for their precious little ones to grow and to flourish. And we have entered into the joy of those who have married. And we have prayerfully shared with those who have had a family member pass away. Also, after much discussion and prayer and dedicated work and commitment on our behalf by the parish council and the building committee, and by those who we thank God in our church fellowship, bring their abilities and skills and talents. And as the scriptures remind us of those early deacons, they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they set about the task of assisting the apostles as the early church developed. And so we thank God for those amongst our congregation who have freely given of their time and ability. And the opportunity and decision was made and reached, and a building was purchased. Now we have a blank canvas where much further consideration and planning will be required to fit out 25 Union Street. And we have just some of the myriad of ideas there in the best possible way that enables worship and all the associated activities to flourish in the days ahead. Not just to go on, but to flourish and to grow. May we, each one, be found faithful in prayer as this incredible potential unfolds before us. And so as we gather for the final time in 2019, Jesus' words from Matthew's Gospel come afresh to us. You are the light of the world, he says to the disciples and to those people gathered to hear his words. You are the light of the world. Now, prior to those words, if we think of that same chapter in Matthew's Gospel that Sue Land read for us, we have the Beatitudes, the blessings. Here Jesus is setting out the type and the manner of daily conduct and lifestyle, which are the hallmark of those who acknowledge God and by extension understand that this Jesus of history, to whom is none other than indeed the Son of God, born to teach, to preach and to heal, and then to die and to triumph over death, and then ascend to his rightful place in power and in glory. And so very clearly, thank you. And so very, very clearly we see that the opportunity we are provided or afforded for, it will require the fit out of 25 Union Street in the best possible way to allow everything to flourish. And when Jesus says that we're the light of the world, and follows up these words after he has said about the blessings really, Jesus is setting out the type and manner of daily conduct and lifestyle which are to be the hallmark of those who acknowledge God and by extension understand that this Jesus of history is none other than the Son of God, born to preach, to teach, to heal. And so very clearly we see in Jesus' words a life that acknowledges Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord is expected to be markedly different from what can be a very indifferent world in which we find ourselves day by day. On Christmas morning, as I was having my breakfast, and I was watching Al Jazeera, and it started off with news from Bethlehem and celebrations there in that divided city. And then straight after that, there was the bombings in Syria. There was the loss of life in Burkina Faso. You could just stick a pin in the map of the world and on and on it goes. The continuing trouble and discord in Hong Kong. And so consider for a moment, let's move away from Scripture and just think of the many good people that are your work colleagues and your neighbours and your friends right now in what is a troubled and a broken world. The world is full of such good people who are kind, who are thoughtful, helpful, honest, and trustworthy. People who in fact exhibit what we call the Christian graces. At the same time, many of these people do not profess to have any specific faith or indeed any Christian belief. And I gave the example, and it's worth repeating. Many of you here were at that wonderful occasion we shared in that restaurant where we acknowledged Stuart for his service and ministry, and we thank God for him. And incidentally, Stuart will be preaching again next Sunday, again while Andrew's away. We thank God for his ongoing interest and commitment to the Thursday morning English classes. And I recounted the incident where I was having lunch with a girl, a reception staff member, Catherine Wang, who was going back to Hong Kong, then on to Guangzhou, and is now living and working in the States. And she'd come to know Stuart very much during the time that he pops in quite regularly to the YWCA. And she said she'd come to just appreciate him for who he was. And she said to me, she said, you know, Stuart is sort of a bit like Jesus. And I said, yes, he sort of is a bit like Jesus. He's kind and considerate and thoughtful, always thinking of what he can do for someone else. And so we all know people down through the years who haven't got the faith that Stuart has got and the faith that you and I share in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, but are of themselves good people. But Jesus' call to you and to me comes down through the years collectively as ACPC and individually that we are to be a different kind of person. We are to be a light into the kind of world that represents my daily reality and your daily reality. How then can we be that kind of person, that kind of church fellowship? Jesus says, and I think here we find the secret in John chapter 8 and verse 12, following on from the words that we read this morning where we are urged to be light of the world. Jesus says, I myself am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8 and verse 12. I myself and be the light of the world. And if you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. Think back to the psalmist of old, and we commenced my message with that old prayer from so many centuries ago. Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And so here Jesus is saying, I'm that lamp, I'm that light, here's the path, here is the way. Walk ye in it. And I know Ken is going to lead us in a very special song to conclude our worship this morning, which represents that. And then in John chapter 16, verses 1 to 15, Jesus expands on his words to his disciples, as recorded in chapter 14. He is explaining that when his work of salvation is accomplished, the Holy Spirit will be always the precious presence for those who believe. The Holy Spirit, and he emphasizes again and again, and I would commend to you over these next few days, find some time to read John chapter 15, verses 1, chapter 16 rather, verses 1 to 15. Here we find Jesus' fullest exposition, if you like, to his disciples, particularly, of the understanding that his ministry will come to an end, that in God's plan he will die, he will rise again, but the Holy Spirit will come to bring to your life and to mine that incredible aspect of what's available to us through Jesus Christ. And so we have the opportunity of sharing in his work and his ministry all through what he makes possible. And the Jesus says in John chapter 16 and verse 15, that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Spirit of the living God will take something of who the reality of Jesus Christ is and make it known to your life and to mine. Is there anything more incredible than that? He's explaining that when his work of salvation is accomplished, the Holy Spirit will be for always with us, the precious presence for those who believe. I commend to you to find time, as I said, as this year draws to a close, to just read that passage, John chapter 16, verses 1 to 15, and drink in afresh the reality of what Jesus is saying about the fact that it is important that I go, because then the Spirit will come and you and I have the opportunity of knowing the empowerment day by day of walking with the guidance and direction of God's Holy Spirit. And if we allow the Holy Spirit entrance into our everyday, then he will be our guide for today and for our tomorrow. So may we end this year with all that it has required of us, anchored firmly in our love of God through Jesus Christ, and ministered to us daily through the Holy Spirit, who alone develops our lives and our church to fulfill holy potential. The opportunity of those who came here in 1957, then before that, who established the Chinese Christian Mission in Cook Street and culminated in where we are today, and the potential of what we can do in the future. We thank God for those new people who've come amongst us. I know of a particular instance of someone who's in this congregation this morning, accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour only a couple of days ago. And the person who led that person to know Jesus Christ is in our congregation this morning. How we thank God for that. That's the reality of what it means to be Church of the Living God. Growth and development. New people coming to realize that in the midst of a world where you turn on the news and, oh my goodness, not very good. You know, forget even about the cricket. the rest of the world in so many areas. It's not the world of God's intention. It's not the world that the writer of Genesis said God looked down and said that it was good. Far from good. But what can be good is that those who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour, country upon country worldwide, can know the reality of what it means to be something of the light and life and the reality of God through Jesus Christ. While we're here, there's actually extra seating being added to the chapel downstairs. How we thank God for that. You've got to get there early to get a seat on Sunday after Sunday because of the growth and development. New people being added daily to the Church of God. I thought long and hard about what old hymn we could use to conclude what is the last Sunday of the year. And I kept coming back to one of Fanny Crosby's great hymns, To God Be the Glory. Fanny Crosby of the 19th century, at the age of 6, she was then permanently blind for the rest of her life. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. So many hymns that as the different denominations were setting up their hymn books over the years, that it was thought, well, we can't have too many hymns by this one lady. So she wrote many under different pseudonyms and other names. She also wrote poems, and she wrote a couple of plays. She was also active in the development of the holiness movement following on from the Wesleyan Methodist revival in England. An incredible lady. And this is one of her great hymns. And I think to do it justice, we must stand and just say, to God be the glory, as we join in this choir, sing these words, and then Ken will come and lead us in our closing song, and we'll have some announcements and a benediction as we get ready in these final days of 2019 to move forward, God willing, to all that he has in store for us in the year ahead. Let's stand as we join together with the choir.